President Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this November the 11th, 2010, and November the 12th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. Of course, that first date I gave you is the West Coast, which is 3 hours behind the East Coast, 2 hours behind Central, one behind Mountain, and that's now just in Arizona, I think. Anyway, welcome to the show. We'd also like to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world. I'm going to start off tonight by mentioning this alleged missile crisis that's been going on in off the coast of California. I heard the most hilarious news announcement on a local Fox network, and the anchor explained that this missile was not a missile, but that after careful review of satellite photos, NASA and the U.S. Air Force both said that this was a commercial airliner that we were seeing. I cracked up, and I've been laughing all day and all night since hearing that report. I've got another explanation that I think I'm going to play a clip of, because it's out there on YouTube and people are enthralled with the messenger, who has a more detailed explanation of what happened. I intentionally didn't say anything about this. This came up on one or two shows this week, and I had not looked into it. And I thought, let me just watch how people are acting and what they're saying, and then I'll look at whatever evidence there is. And I got to look at the alleged KCBS Los Angeles film, and I don't have any reason to doubt that the chopper pilot actually filmed that missile taking off from the ocean. It's been described as having left the Pacific Ocean. And now, how many times have you seen, you out there who have frequent flyer miles, how many of you have actually seen your airplane take off from inside the ocean on a, let's say, a trans-Pacific flight, or a flight to Hawaii, or a flight up to upstate Washington, let's say, or Oregon? How many of you ever seen an airliner come out of the water? Okay, let's not forget that that's where the missile came from, or what was called a missile and then called a commercial airliner. It was neither of the two. Actually, I submit to you that that was a flying saucer, and it was coming out of a base, an underwater base, north of Catalina Island. Now, the powers that be know that that base exists, and there are others that know that base exists. So it wasn't a coincidence, or it wasn't an optical illusion. It wasn't sun glare. It wasn't swamp gas. The swamp gas, if any, is coming out of NASA and the Air Force. But it wasn't weather balloons. And it wasn't crash dummies. It's clear that people are seeing saucers around the world. And every opportunity they have to put out disinformation about it, they do. There's another video I got to see. And if there wasn't so much profanity in it, and it's really street talk, but a pretty interesting video of some huge equipment being moved on the 27th of October. And loudspeakers announcing danger, danger, you know, leave the area, and being escorted with flashing strobe lights and police lights and highway patrol. and they're traveling up Interstate 5 in an area which appears to be around the Long Beach area, or maybe a little bit north, but it's south of Los Angeles, according to one of the signs. I don't know the exact intersections. Many of them look familiar, but these are all night shots with lights blaring all over the place. And there's sort of this caravan of some sort of monstrous high-tech equipment. And it appears that it's being accompanied by a UFO. And I've seen the UFO. I've seen other photos of these UFOs. And I know by the color, by the light emanated, and the light patterns emanated as the video progresses, that it's a reptilian craft. There's no doubt about that. And I've gotten agreement from others on that aspect. This is not what the mainstream media is going to tell you is happening. They're going to tell you first the missile, then they're going to change that. Then, now get ready, because they've been saying it's a commercial airliner. Get ready for them to say it was a flock of geese. Okay? That'll be the next story that they tell. Okay? So consider that. But I've got a clip I want to play you which talks about the history of that area. And this is something that was sent to me by someone who really knows this issue inside and out, probably better than any of us. And I had nothing to do with the production. It's online. You can find it. And we're gonna talk about that in a moment. But first, the moment of the show you've been waiting for, and you always wait for on Thursday night, and that's when I bring on my guest. He's a former U.S. Marine from 1967 through 1977. He hosts his own radio show, heard on the internet on blogtalkradio.com, but primarily he is broadcasting through the whole network of Wind Talkers around the world. And he's got a big, very, very large following, especially in the U.S. military. And being a former Marine, he's not forgotten his comrades, and he's bringing them the truth 6 days a week. He's putting in long hours. His show's twice as long as my show. And on the weekend, actually on Sunday or Monday, depending on where you are in the world, he does a 3-hour show. And he talks about everything from politics to how to plant your own garden, or how to maintain a healthy immune system, how to prepare for disaster. He talks about many, many topics. Chemtrails. He talks about the law, about the corruption in the government. And I think he's going to enjoy talking about this topic with me tonight. My good friend, Drew Malone Raines III. Drew, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you, sir. And to all my Marines around the world, Semper Fi! Happy birthday for those of you that didn't hear my show yesterday. And I hope all you guys over in Hawaii and Honolulu have taken it upon yourselves to go out and get the free steak or whatever is out there at some of the restaurants, including Applebee's and steakhouses that are giving away free food for you and the veterans. The rest of us, I wouldn't say 10 o'clock. I think you might be able to squeeze in a late night snack if you're in L.A., but it's 8:14 in Honolulu. And you hit the nail on the head. When you said swamp gas, I was ready to call my cousin down in Louisiana and see if the alligators were farting a little bit. I saw the pictures myself, and the minute you said that somebody said it was a commercial airplane, I wanted to just fly. I couldn't believe that. This thing looks like somebody was out in the ocean and had about a barge full of fireworks and set them off all at the same time to shoot a big, to make it look like one big rocket going into the sky. An airplane. I can't believe that.
A commercial airplane.
Commercial airplane. I have several came through here last night, and they had seen all these chemtrails, and they were actually saying that the chemtrails were commercial traffic. They'd never seen the massive amount of chemtrails. I showed them yesterday, and I just before they left this afternoon on their journey north, I showed them a takeoff of a 757 out of Little Rock, being flown by Delta Airlines going to Dallas. And this sucker took off, and it launched its turbos and went straight up. I mean, way up. And I said, "Now look at that. You see that jet? Do you see any chemtrails? Now turn around over here and look to the southwest and see all those chemtrails. There's one there that looks like it's making a big C." And sure enough, the sucker almost headed back over toward us. And all of a sudden, Douglas, he said, you know, you may have something about this. I always thought it was commercial aircraft that was doing this, just unloading their fuel. But damn, man, this is something else. So if somebody says that a plane took off out of the ocean, I just want to say, what kind of stupid pills is he on?
Yeah, this was a female analogy.
Or she.
Yeah, yeah. He or she, right? This was, it was seen by a lot of people. So I'm not the only one that's mentioned this, although the average person listens to it and they say, they said it was a missile. It wasn't. It was just a plane.
Okay, the last 10 days, there's been two missiles in the last 10 days. One out of Phoenix, Arizona, and one out of the Pacific Ocean, for lack of a better location. Both of them look the same. Both of them were done approximately the same time.
Yeah.
And of the day, same time of the day.
Who controls the media?
And I'm going to tell you that, you know, it's like Trotsky said. By the way, somebody out there is getting a loop in Australia.
Oh, really?
On the show.
I don't know.
Leo Trotsky said the truth is that the state is a conspiracy designed not only to exploit, but above all, to corrupt its citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going on right now, is the state is corrupting everybody out there.
Yeah, yeah. There were no explosions. I heard a guy on the radio today say that the Chinese were behind this cruise ship that lost its power. So what? You know, they're all playing these games with this technology. Does it really matter who? It's while everybody's looking at all this stuff, they're carrying it on with business as usual. You know, stealing trillions of dollars, or trying to come up with ways to devise where they can take advantage of somebody, because it's really not doing them any good unless they can injure another party. You know, so. They're looking for people to buy bonds. That's what this trip is all about, to get their hands on money. That's all it's about. I mean, take a flotilla with you and an air force and a battalion of soldiers. I mean, I don't know the full number of a battalion, but, you know, what's 3,000 in military lingo? Are you still with us, Drew?
Yeah, I'm here. I didn't hear the question. I'm busy with people in Australia and New Zealand trying to get them on the show, get them to listen to the show. I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah. What would you call a 3,000 man force? What would you call that?
A 3,000 man force?
Yeah.
A regiment would be about a battalion.
That's what I said. Okay. So
it's about a battalion.
All right. So a battalion, a flotilla, an air force, for what? For what? What warrants that much protection? And from what? You know, I mean, we can speculate on all kinds of things, but really, I mean, you're flying under military guard, most likely, and you've got ships down on the ocean, and this army of men protecting you on land. You mustn't feel too good about what you're doing, or what you're doing is very risky. And so it warrants that kind of protection. I don't know. I'm sort of just throwing my thoughts out there because I haven't really heard a lot of people talk about it other than, you know, it's costing $200 to $250 million a day, which they deny it costs. I don't know. How do you run such an operation without incurring ungodly expenses? Not to mention the hotel rooms, the food, all the other security that's there.
Well, that was what I brought up two weeks ago with Colorado House. You know, who's paying for the fuel to do these things? I mean, this, you know, you can follow the toilet paper, but when all they've got is just two men or three men teams on an aircraft, one to control the movement of the chemicals that go into the air with the in the chemical spray, and then you've got a pilot and a co-pilot. That's the minimum that you're going to have on board one of these chemical spraying aircraft. That's the very minimum.
Oh, I wasn't even talking about that. I'm just talking about the trip he's taking, you know, to foreign countries.
Oh, you're talking about Obama's trip?
Yeah. You.
Oh well, shucks, man. We already know the United States government is broke, according to people in Washington. But I personally feel that they're using money that they've accumulated through the hiding through the CAFRA reports.
Mm-hmm.
Because we already know that two or three CPAs that I know mm-hmm. have been looking at the CAFRA for the United States, i.e. Washington, D.C., United States.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them came back with the leftover amount accumulated since 1995
mm-hmm.
is a little over $3.5 trillion. So they're spending that money that's accumulated during the year because it's not carried over with the next year CAFRA report.
That's correct. That's absolutely correct.
So where is that money? Well, you know, this money is out there, and it's an appearance to us, i.e. those that are knowledgeable and that want to look into it. It's apparent to us that somebody's got to be paying for it, and there ain't anybody out there from other countries that's going to pay for it, especially places like Germany or Greece or Ireland, the United Kingdom or Sweden. Sweden is sweating blood right now. They've loaned the EU $59 billion, and they're worried that they're not going to get paid back.
Yeah, this has been going on for the past 4 years. In this round, we'll say. I mean, this has been happening for hundreds of years, but in the past 4 years, this money that you're talking about was on the table and moved into position that settlements could be made. This all relates back to the destruction of the ruble and the breakup or the alleged breakup of the Soviet Union. We can see something else going on politically. We can see that there's a lot of there's a tug of war going on with this money because it's being bounced around the planet like a ping pong ball, and you know, in and out of banks in split seconds, and people are just making enormous amounts of interest off of those transactions for participating in them. And this is all off balance sheet stuff. Nobody's really seeing that. Nobody's really seeing the figures, but the activities can be tracked. So anyway, that said, I wanted to go back to this thing, why we're seeing and hearing these stories like we're hearing. And I've got about a 10-minute, 15-second clip here, which comes from way prior to this event happening. And this is describing the area around Catalina Island. I think you'll find this interesting. This is historic. So, Drew, if you'll bear with us, I'm going to play this for the listening audience.
A 26-mile-wide stretch of the Pacific Ocean separating the city of Los Angeles from Catalina Island. According to experts, these waters, portions of which might be as deep as Mount Everest is high, may contain some of the world's darkest mysteries.
You are seeing an unidentified flying object. It is not a hoax. It is real. The film was taken by Leland Hansen while filming Catalina Island from a helicopter.
In recent years, escalating reports of unidentified submerged objects, or USOs, flying into and out of the channel have caused great concern to local residents and researchers.
The whole area here is just a huge hotbed of UFO activity. I've uncovered probably 200-300 cases of UFOs flying over the mountains and over the water here. It's just a huge hotspot.
Preston Dennett is the author of UFOs Over California. He has been investigating USO activity in this area for almost 20 years.
Actually, there was a huge wave of sightings over the Santa Monica Mountain Range on June 14, 1992. The witnesses counted a total of about 200 objects. What's interesting about this case is these objects came from below. Normally, when someone sees a UFO, it comes out of the sky like a star, they see a star-like object, and comes swooping down. These came from below to above.
June 14th, 1992, 10:24 p.m. For almost 2 minutes, the waters of the Pacific Ocean explode with light as hundreds of bright, disc-like craft are witnessed flying out of the water together. Similar to other reports of USOs exiting the water, these craft emerge from the Pacific in almost complete silence. They reportedly hover for a moment before bursting into space. Reports of this incident were phoned into local police departments as far away as Malibu. The following is an actual call that was placed on that day.
Officer, did anyone report anything strange tonight?
Maybe more than once with effect.
Strange.
Light. Yes. What exactly happened to you?
I was going to tell you because I think you're going to think you're crazy. We saw what we thought was a bright light up in the sky.
Okay.
Is it here? It was in a helicopter. I'm telling you, I have never been frightened in my life.
According to Dennett, the incident was also reported to the U.S. Coast Guard sector in Long Beach, which ultimately declined the search request. This 1992 event was the second in Los Angeles in 3 years. On the dark, foggy morning of February 7, 1989, scuba divers, boat sonar systems, and people on the shore witness a long, dark, unidentified craft dive out of the Pacific. For about 90 seconds, the USO rests just above the surface before emitting about a dozen smaller, fast-moving objects. 60 seconds later, the craft dives back underwater. Its last reported sonar heading was south toward the Santa Catalina Channel before it disappeared.
And it involved dozens of objects which were seen off the coast of Marina Del Rey. On occasion, some of these craft would emit smaller craft, about 20 feet in diameter. And these are seen moving underneath the surface of the ocean, and they were coming in and out of the water.
As the 1947 incident at Roswell sparked worldwide curiosity about flying saucers, these events near Los Angeles have sparked a current wave of research into the capabilities and threats of so-called USOs.
The oceans of the world covering, 70% of the planet, they hide a lot of history and a lot of mystery.
There's a very good reason for a whole society of creatures, sentient creatures, advanced creatures living underwater because they can, because nobody goes there.
It's fascinating to think of the underwater UFOs because they know a lot about this planet that you and I don't know.
Unique to the USO phenomenon is the reported ability of these craft to multiply and break apart. One such astounding case has become known as the Golfo Nuevo event. On February 8, 1960, the Argentinian Navy is on alert as they track two unidentified submarine-like objects in its waters, thought to be American subs. Then, according to reports, the underwater objects are seen on sonar to break apart and fly out of the water.
Sonar contact, 173, 438 yards.
Sonar contact, 173, 438 yards.
Two gigantic submarines sighted by the Argentinian Navy in 1960 inexplicably multiplied into six other submarine objects. The Argentinians were never able to catch them or destroy them because the objects simply disappeared.
The case even caught the attention of the Soviet Union's most senior officials.
Nikita Khrushchev, who was the leader of the Soviet Union at the time, was so much intrigued by the whole story that he sent his diplomatic attaché in Buenos Aires to find out what's been going on.
While some researchers contend that these reported cases might be nothing more than military submarines firing torpedoes, others argue that submarines were not capable of firing six or more objects in 1960. Late USO researcher Ivan T. Sanderson's 1970 book, Invisible Residents, was the first to analyze the USO phenomenon. He reports on another remarkable example of USO behavior. In March 1963, a U.S. Navy submarine exercise is progressing as planned 100 miles off Puerto Rico. Suddenly, one Navy sub abruptly breaks from its assigned route after picking up an unidentified object traveling at speeds in excess of 150 knots. The submarines are astonished by the depth at which the unidentified craft is moving, 20,000 feet underwater.
Gave the acoustic signature of a single propeller type of motion through the water, and it was tracked at depths down to 20,000 feet, whereas a typical crush depth for a submarine would be 7,000 feet. So this thing, whatever it was exceeding the technical capabilities of submarines at that time and even today.
The vessel is tracked for almost 4 days by the entire carrier group. The object would reportedly propel away at impossible speeds and then stop and rest, allowing for continued tracking by the Navy. Reports about this event were sent back to Sinclair Fleet Headquarters in Norfolk, Virginia. However, an official determination into what was seen on sonar that afternoon was never made. But according to reports, the Navy lost track of the craft after midnight on the fourth day. It was never picked up on sonar again.
Nobody advanced a theory as to how something could move that fast.
We have reports of USOs going into and out of the water, but we don't have any of the technical data. Flying saucers that are above the ground, people see them. But what's underwater, the Navy sees them. And the Navy isn't talking about what it's doing.
Inflating an immense balloon aboard the USS Norton Sound, the Navy prepares for further study of the elusive cosmic rays somewhere in the Pacific. That's the news. A secondary consideration clears up the mystery of the so-called flying saucers. For it is these monsters which rise 19 miles and attain diameters of 100 feet that have been mistaken for the apparitions called flying saucers. At great altitudes, they tell us, these elongated enormities flatten out like plates. Mystery ended.
But reports from around the world continue. Another extraordinary case is reported in the international press beginning on November 11, 1972. A fast-moving submarine-like object is picked up on sonar in the Sogne Fjord off the west coast of Norway by the Norwegian Navy, which hunts it for 2 weeks. A fleet of surface ships and specially equipped sub-hunter helicopters are assembled to find the object. On November 20, 1972, the USO is seen visually for the first time. It was described as being a massive, silent, cigar-shaped object. A Navy ship promptly fires its guns and torpedoes at the craft.
Some ship actually saw it on the surface and fired at it, but it dived, and then they started dropping depth charges. Although all the articles treat this as a submarine, the fact of the matter is nobody was able to identify it as a submarine.
After tracking the object for almost 2 weeks, the Navy devises and executes a plan to blockade the fjord and trap the USO.
They tried to seal off this fjord so nothing could get in or out. Nevertheless, after 14 or 15 days, this thing disappeared. So that may mean that this object, whatever it was tracked by the Navy, was not a submarine at all, but an unidentified submerged object.
Coming up, did Christopher Columbus and his crew witness USOs flying into and out of the Atlantic on October 11th, 1492?
One of the earlier cases comes all the way back from the day before Columbus Day in 1492, before there was a Columbus Day. And it happened on Santa Maria.
Well, that's the end of that clip. That's courtesy of the History Channel and LiveLeak.com. Drew, forget what I said at the top of the show as to what I discern happened, and regardless of what they call it, we've heard it called two different things already. Okay, well, when did we hear this before? 9/11, we heard something like that. Waco, Oklahoma City, Ruby Ridge, Texas City, Florida City, Florida. Oh, it's amazing. This sort of debunks all of that, doesn't it? This wasn't intended to be debunking it. But even though they leave these documentaries open, they never want to completely bring the answer forth. But I can tell you, based on what I know of the truth, that this all sounds extremely plausible. What do you say, sir?
Big time plausible. And I have to correct you on the 3,000 man unit size. I got a master sergeant out there that says, Drew, did you forget how many men's in a company? There are four companies to a battalion. And there's only 225 men to a company. So your figures are for your 3,000 man is for a regiment, by the way. I'm going to get that corrected before we go.
Okay. All right. So I was wrong and you were wrong.
No, I was wrong too, because I had forgotten. I was thinking company. And four companies to a battalion, and I was thinking a large company, being 1,000, being 700 to 1,000 men, but that's what that is a small battalion. This can go all the way down to 300 men, but anyway, the master sergeant wanted to correct me.
Okay,
on that.
Well, I appreciate that. We appreciate that.
Anyway, but going back to this, it's big time plausible. And we've been lied to. And I have a question here from Sochi, Russia. When was the clip made?
Well, the clip, as I heard, just came out within the last couple of days. I heard somebody talking about it on another show yesterday. It may have happened 3 days ago, 4 days ago. I don't really know, but it. You know, I asked this rhetorical question: who controls the media? How is it that that KCBS is permitted to let this video out, unless it's intended to represent what people saw? You see, I mean, we're only seeing the official video, right? So,
well, the video. I think the better question is: when do you think
the video was taken?
Commentator put this video together before.
He mentions
1992, but he doesn't mention anything after 1992. And if my memory is correct, the guy that is the announcer here was an announcer on a lot of documentaries in the 80s.
Yeah, he did.
And died. I think he died of a heart attack in 96 or 97.
Yeah, I would guess that this was done in the. I'm going to say early to mid 1990s.
Okay.
I don't have a date on it. I suppose I could do a lot of research to find out, but didn't have time to do that. It's enough time.
Well, somebody went out and dug up a film clip a documentary film clip, and they obviously posted on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, that means somebody in the mainstream media wanted this leaked out. But then again, we go back to 9/11. I don't know how many people did what I did on 9/11.
In fact, UFO.
Okay. Pardon me for that. I was pulling
That's
up
right.
the page to see if I could see the date, the first part. But I wanted to play that second part anyway. So didn't mean to interrupt.
Anyway, just a second. Before we go into the running of that clip, in 2001, on 9/11, September the 11th, 2001, ladies and gentlemen, we all know what happened that day. I just happened to be in my office. And my office does not have cable, but at that time I was able to pick up a fairly decent signal for NPR television, and here in Arkansas they called it AFN, Arkansas Freedom Network, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line is that I'm sitting there. Just walked in the office, got the coffee gone, and I turn on the idiot box and was watching the NPR to catch, because NPR has a better news at that time,
mm-hmm,
than the local news stations. And you get tired of listening to local news stations come out every 9 minutes or every 4 minutes with a traffic report
and a commercial.
And commercial,
you know,
big time commercial. So I'm watching it. All of a sudden, the screen goes blank, and they said due to emergencies, all shows have been canceled. We will be playing supplying you with documentaries, and for the entire day, they played some of the most intriguing documentaries. About the corruption of the United States government, corruption of individuals that were controlled by individuals. They even played a documentary on the passing of the Federal Reserve Act and how illegal it was. And I'm thinking, whoa, now, here's Drew Malone Raines III. I'm already waist deep. I mean, we're already up to my neck in the Freedom Informational Networks, doing seminars, paying. I mean, I'm in footing the bill for major information, $5,000 for constitutional rule books. And baby, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell you guys, yes, I hear you, sweet. I paid $5,000 for 10,000 copies of the constitutional rule book. In the Constitution, out of Arizona, it had an American flag on it with the Patriots on the front, and gave those away in mass back in 1998, 99, 2000, 2001, 2002. But the bottom line is that here I am watching this, and I'm just thrilled to death that the truth is coming out. Now I'm. At the very beginning of it, I didn't know that there was a 9/11 catastrophe in New York. But then my phone rang, and before I even got to the telephone to answer it, four former Marines were at my front door screaming, why haven't you got your TV on local news? And I said, I'll be right with you. And I answered the phone, and another Marine was on the phone. Are you watching this? Are you paying attention to what's going on in New York? And I said, what's going on? What's wrong with everybody? And that's exactly how it was at 8:30 in my office on 9/11.
Yeah.
But then I turned the dial over, and sure enough, the rest of the day, I would move my television back and forth. Because I wanted to see what NPR was going to do all day. And they were playing all these great documentaries, just like the one you just played, the little clip.
Yeah. Now, I got so no one can think that we're ganging up on anybody. I want to give an alternative view here. And this sort of speaks for itself. What amazes me is
you're not going to play the one with the newscaster saying that it was a commercial jet flying out of the ocean.
No, no, not that.
Oh, thank you.
No, that's actually probably a 15, 20 second clip, and it's worth it. No, this is a different clip from RT News, and I'll let it speak for itself. Now, folks, take into consideration what Drew and I have been talking about and the clip I played you and how I set this whole scenario up as to what's really going on. You saw an official video from mainstream media. Remember that, whether it was taken from a chopper or not. If it wasn't intended to do what it's doing, we wouldn't be seeing it. They wouldn't come out and show us this. It's not to be seen. So assume that what you're looking at may not represent what really happened. That's what I'm saying. But listen to this account and then take into consideration what I said.
We told you about a possible missile, rocket, or maybe airplane that was seen off the coast of California on Monday. Today, there still aren't many answers as to what it actually was. But one woman says she has some answers. You'd be surprised to find out where she's getting her information from. Colleen Thomas is a home health administrator turned physicist who specializes in the science of creation. And she's the mother of a race of good aliens here on Earth called Pleiadians. She says she knows exactly what happened with that missile. And she joins me now from Roseville, California. Colleen, thanks so much for joining me. First of all, tell me what you know about what happened with that supposed missile.
I got in my ear, as it were, as I was sleeping, that it was a missile fire, President Obama trying to start a war with Iran. The Pleiadians downed the missile, harmlessly at sea. And then, last night from San Diego, our government fired another ICBM at the Pleiadians this time. But the Pleiadians ships are able to, change density and do all kinds of things that these guys on this planet have never imagined. And a rocket could pass right through them and not harm them. And plus, they can outrun it too if they wanted to just get out of the way. But it's really kind of silly to think that we can take on a race that's been around for many, many, many millions of eons longer than the reptilians.
And really briefly, Colleen, some people might not know exactly who the Pleiadians were. So why would President Obama want to fire an ICBM at the Pleiadians?
Because they're here to rescue the human beings who are being enslaved on this planet and forced into a paradigm of a super oligarchy that favors the Bilderberg Group and the Illuminati and is completely and utterly without any conscience towards the human beings whatsoever. They poison us deliberately in order for us to have to buy pharmaceuticals so that they can string our miserable little lives along on pharmaceuticals for the rest of our, aging days. There's no need for us to be in the kind of physical condition that we are in. But they put chemtrails, in collusion with BP, British Petroleum, they put chemicals in jet fuel, and that jet, those chemicals end up getting sprayed in these minute particulates that rain down on our food, on our crops, and in our water. There's lithium in those chemtrails. There's also fluoride and a lot of other heavy metals that are dispersed in the air as chaff. So the American government can talk to one another militarily without being listened in upon by other foreign countries. They know this stuff is toxic for us, but there's money in toxifying us. And so they work in collusion with the pharmaceutical companies with these backdoor deals, changing the laws and making everything favorable for these guys, but not favorable for the humans whatsoever. Humans are just commerce to these people, and they're also meat to these people. They not only kill and eat us, they sell our dead bodies on a meat market of their own kind that goes passing by here every 50 years. And I got that straight from a CIA agent.
And, you know, I know that you say that you have contact with the Pleiadians. How often do they talk to you? And what else do they say about the current situation in the United States right now? We're in a recession. There's talk about China surpassing us in the economy. I'm curious what the Pleiadians have to say about all of those issues, too.
They are working towards the peace of this planet and towards the towards eradicating us of our draconian reptilian infestation. China actually fired an EMP weapon in the Pacific Ocean last night. Its target was an American warship full of fighter planes. And it was on its way towards China to with and up to absolutely no good whatsoever. So China disabled the ship with an EMP weapon. We spent most of the night last night evacuating everybody that was on that ship off because it was completely dead. No electronics whatsoever survived the EMP pulse.
Wow, well, it sounds like you've had your hands full these days. You've been very busy, and the Pleiadians definitely sound like they have an interesting analysis on what's going on here in the United States and across the world. Colleen Thomas, a home health administrator, I really appreciate your time with us. Thank you so much.
Now, I in no way support this message whatsoever. I'm just giving you another outlook, but we went from, my goodness, we went from the president of the United States firing this missile at Iran, but then she was asked the question, why would this missile be fired at the Pleiadians, which she called the Pleiadians at first. I mean, if you listen to this conversation, it just went everywhere, but that question wasn't answered, certainly. And at times, Drew, I got the feeling she was listening to this show or your show or maybe both, and just mixing everything all together.
Well, she might have been just taking stupid pills.
The only thing that was missing from that whole discourse was the outcome of the World Cup.
I thought I heard the score there.
No, it was something else. This is an interesting video because there's some serious shape-shifting going on in this video, too.
Oh, she's doing shape-shifting. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's major.
So she's one of the, quote, Palladians, unquote.
Yeah, so now you heard that explanation, Drew. It's comical, to say the least. But how does that type of explanation for what's going on make a news network in Washington, D.C.?
It's the same thing. You remember 2001 when this idiot's running down New York City and walks up to the camera and basically has the composure of a newscaster and says, well, everybody knows that the plane runs into the building and the jet fuel heats up and melts the steel and the building's going to collapse. Everybody knows. Wait a minute here. That's just some jerk that the government has implanted into the news media. And where is he now? I mean, newscasters, commentaries, even sportscasters have looked for this guy for 9 years to no avail. So, you know, this is what I hear with this lady here. She's just she's putting out a lot of information that's just misinformation, misdirection.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's what it's intended to do. It's intended to just give you that other dimension because it's so close to the truth, but it's a complete distortion of the truth at the same time.
Building 7 fell down this morning. It was falling as I came in the door, and there's Building 7 over the lady's right shoulder. So give me a break, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I hear with this, or see if you watch it.
Yeah, so most likely the video that people are seeing is not the true video. That's what I discern, but even if it is, there's a very plausible explanation for what caused the plume. And
well, I've got an answer for it if you really want to hear it. Okay,
go ahead.
It comes right out. It comes right out of Peabody. Okay, it's the and I'm not. There's not any verbiage, but this is how I feel. Peabody's theme.
Mr. Peabody, yeah.
Peabody's impossible history.
Sherman and Peabody.
Improbable history. You know? hey, guys, that comes from the Bullwinkle show, if you didn't know where it came from.
Rocky and
where did that come from? You're a little young, Staff Sergeant. You're a little young. 24-year-old Staff Sergeant.
That's how you feel, you said, right?
You know, life goes on.
Okay, so we have another false flag. But, you know, I contend, Drew, that everybody's waiting for a false flag. Couldn't you call the current chemtrail spraying a false flag event?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's as bad as somebody coming out and saying there's a lot of swamp gas. I keep asking them, I says, where are all the alligators at? Are they having a little indigestion problem? Somebody been feeding the alligators a bunch of beans?
Well, even in this documentary clip that I played, you couldn't see it, but he was describing the process of blowing up, inflating a balloon at sea to explain away what people were really seeing and not the the saucers.
That's as bad as Woody Woodpecker out there going up and trying to make a home in a steel building.
I'm sure that balloon was traveling thousands of miles an hour, too.
Yeah, uh-huh, yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah. It's never ending. Well, Drew, what's new in your world? I sort of threw this at
you. You really want to know what's new in my world? You really want to know? It's homemade coffee latte and homemade cinnamon coffee latte and chocolate latte, homemade. And it would save myself 25 cents a can at minimum, and it tastes 10 times better, and there's no sugar. I use stevia. So that's what's new in my world. Oh, Charles, you want Charles down in Australia or New Zealand, he wants the recipe. It's real simple. 1/2 cup of instant coffee, 1/6 of a cup or 14 packages of stevia, and 1 cup of vanilla flavor coffee creamer, and 1 cup of instant dry milk, but I substituted 1 cup of Coffee Mate. And you blend it all together in a big blender. And we're talking about a blender, guys, not one of those little bitty cheap things. You blend that sucker up for about 10 minutes. And when you get through, you'll have the best coffee latte you ever wanted to eat. That's what's new in my world, other than the fact it's Veterans Day. And today's Veterans Day here in the United States, a lot of us were able to go out and get two meals today for free. I was able to go over to the Lone Star and get steak and French fried sweet potatoes for supper, and at lunch I was at Applebee's and I had a chicken fried steak, mashed potatoes and gravy, which I shouldn't be mixing together, and a salad. So I did double dip duty today on the free food.
Well, at least you didn't let the day go to waste.
Oh, no. They go to waste. Yeah, I'm going to get a baseball bat and throw it at you. I need about, there's 7 days in the week. I've been petitioning for another day, one more day. I need an 8th day of the week, you know. I need one day to really sit back and relax.
Yeah. Well, going back to this thing that we were talking about, and I sort of threw that topic at you, we hadn't really prepared anything together.
No, we never prepare for anything. Okay, we let God lead us and move down the road, and if we're not going the right track, Marianne Ponder comes out with her baseball bat and slams it down and says, "All right, dadgummit, I've had enough."
Well, you know, these explanations that I played here, this last clip that I played, go on some other videos, and it's all the stuff that's got everybody swimming and drowning in disinformation, you know. So just want to make that point clear that you got to use some discernment, folks. I mean, even the interview is not agreeing with what it's saying from one sentence to the other. You know, and
well, we've gone through this midterm election, which is a big joke, and they've been characterized out there as a victory for the grassroots Americans. But I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't see that many grassroots Americans out there taking a win. There's a lot to be desired for the Tea Party voters and those that say the Tea Party won. Now, granted, I'm not saying we didn't make a major change, and I'm happy for what we've got, but I'm saddened to learn that of the eligible voters in America, there were twice as many that did not vote that voted, and that shows the apathy of the American people that have given up on the American government. These people just don't care. The election doesn't mean anything. We can't get anybody honest into the government. The votes are steered away, and there's actual newscasters out there that feel, well, the ones that did vote, shame on you. You shouldn't have voted to participate. And my personal viewpoint is, I look at it like, if the 61% of Americans that are eligible vote that didn't vote, if they would get off their can and unite, we could change the government in one election real easy. Whenever the president comes up, you put in a third of the Senate, and you put in a brand new House of Representatives, and a new president, and you tell the Democrats and the Republicans, you put them all, you take that coin and you throw it over the cesspool over there, and then you only have to put up with two-thirds of the Senate being a Republican or a Democrat for 4 years. And then 2 years later, wham, you vote those guys out, now you replace the entire two-thirds of the Senate, and the ones that are left, i.e. the Republicans and the Democrats, they're going to be split down in that 33 percentile race, where there might be maybe 20 Republicans and 13 Democrats. But the other 66 or 67 will be a total third party that's not even heard of. And it could be done, but no. George Washington had it right in 1796. No party. Political parties are evil. George Washington was not a member of a political party, would not associate with a political party, wrote letters to Thomas Jefferson about the dangers of political parties. He agreed with Thomas Paine about political parties being evil. And here we are. We got a two-party system. It's the same coin, ladies and gentlemen. You got Republicans on one side of the coin, and you got Democrats on the other side of the coin. That's the way I feel about it, Don.
Yeah. Well said. You know, there's a story that I don't think our listeners heard about, and you may not have heard about it either, Drew. There was an airplane that was about to crash with just 5 passengers on board, but there were only 4 parachutes. The first passenger said, "I am President Obama, the chosen one. The world needs me. I can't afford to die." So he took the first parachute and left the plane. Second passenger, Nancy Pelosi, said, "I am the Speaker of the House, and I am the smartest woman in American history, so America's people don't want me to die." She took the second parachute and jumped out of the plane. The third passenger, John Kerry, said, "I'm a senator, and a decorated war hero from the Navy of the United States of America. So he grabbed the parachute next to him and jumped. The fourth passenger, ex-President George W. Bush, said to the fifth passenger, a 10-year-old schoolgirl, "I have lived a full life, and I served my country the best I could. I will sacrifice my life and let you have the last parachute." The little girl said, "That's okay, Mr. President. There's a parachute left for you. America's smartest woman took my school bag." So I was just wondering if you had heard that.
No, I hadn't heard that.
So we can wish the Marines a happy 235th and hope everybody is not imbibing and driving, but, you know, being safe, being in a good place where you don't have to worry about getting in any kind of trouble. But
that's why I had my Crown and Coke at lunchtime, because cops don't really think about people drinking at lunch.
But then you didn't drive either, did you?
No, I travel. I never drive.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Drew, I know you've had a long day. You had a great show today. Give out your website information, if you would. Any news that you have?
I got a new website.
Yeah, I know.
Same address, but it's a new website.
Is it?
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the same address for the website. We just made the platform easy. You go there, you're going to see some draft. You're going to see me at the end of the dirt road, with all the trees down the line. So that's the way I feel. This is exactly how I feel. You need to put your house together. You need to get out of Dodge. I implore you. If you can, if you have the finances, sell what you got and get out of your cities and find you a place in rural America. It doesn't have to be in the Ozarks, but it needs to be in the mountain regions, and it needs to be at least 100 miles away from any real major metropolitan area. But you could be, you know, 20 miles out of a city that's got maybe 5,000. And you can live in places like the Poconos or the Appalachians. You can live in the Ozarks. You can live on the Great Divide. You can live just about anywhere where you've got some high ground, some rural areas, and it doesn't take rocket science. Colorado Al found a place over in Colorado just within 5 miles of him. He's just driving down the road one day, and all of a sudden there's this little goat path, literally, and a sign goes up, house for sale. And he drives down the goat path, and there out in the middle of God's great acres of mountainside is this nice little cabin and 10 acres of land. And he's going to pick this sucker up for a song, and they're ready to sell because they don't want to be foreclosed on. You can find these little, we got Jane over in Arizona, did the same thing, got picked up 5 acres with a house for $36,000 just outside of Phoenix, about 80 miles. Well, that to me is a little bit too close to Phoenix, but it beats the heck out of living in downtown Phoenix. And she's a school teacher, so she has to drive back and forth. So, you know, this is good for her. If you live and work in Houston, Texas, I don't know. I lived in Houston, Texas. I've lived in Corpus Christi. Man, I don't know what to tell you. I feel sorry for you if you can't get out of Corpus Christi and Beaumont in Houston. You've got a big time problem, because I'm going to tell you right up front, and I'm not trying to scare you, but I'm going to tell you, if you live in one of those places, you're dead. You're going to die. Period. And in the near future, within the next 28 months, 5 out of 7 Americans are going to die. Catastrophic events are going to kill us off, and then it's going to be some form of a crunch. And people, you don't have a clue. You do not believe that your neighbors will kill you for food to give to their children. I got news for you. They will. They did it in Yugoslavia just in the last 5 years. Serbia is the remnant. So stop and think about it. It can happen. It will happen. And all the scare tactics that you're getting out there, guys and girls and children, about from certain talk show hosts out of Texas and Minnesota. I think he's in Minnesota. You better get your head out of your posterior and realize something. These guys are just trying to make some money for themselves. And here's a big kicker for you. These people that are selling gold and silver, well, they're selling the gold and silver and they're taking your fiat money. You stop and think about it. You're surrendering your fiat money for their gold and silver, and it's overpriced. Buy food. Buy seeds. And I don't mean seeds from the seed guy. I'm talking about seeds from legitimate people that are selling heirloom seeds and have been selling heirloom seeds for over 20 years. It doesn't take rocket science to go out there and find heirloom seeds. If you can't find them, send me an email, drewraines@yahoo.com. I'll give you 60 companies to go to. My website is the three W's, AMD.EL.com. I repeat, AMD.EL.com. My webmaster, Megan, in Australia has been working her heart out to put this system updated and make it a faster website, easier to jump on, easier to find stuff, direct links. And yes, we're having trouble getting it all set up. So, but all we can ask you to do is go sign up and keep signing up until you get confirmed. Because we're putting together a website that's going to have an emergency auto send. And those of you that think that, oh, well, this is going to happen and that's going to happen, I'm going to tell you, mark my word, this is the bottom line. All these scare tactics about the banks are going to close on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday of next week, week after next, 3 weeks down the road, that's a lot of BS. And if you don't know what BS stands for, we're going to talk about steer manure. It is a lot of BS. We will probably, as American citizens, have a four-hour notice when the crunch begins. And what's going to happen, the first thing that's going to happen at 08 a.m., people using credit cards will not be able to charge anything. And then ATMs will go down, and then banks won't open. All of that's going to start happening, and you're going to find out about it because we're going to know about it anywhere from a minimum of 4 hours and a maximum of 8. But we'll probably get something around 4 to 6 hour notice, and then the confirmation will be at 08 o'clock. New York time, and it will run across the United States all the way to Hawaii as the time of the day begins for the workforce. And Obama or whomever's in charge is going to get on the air and say, well, we've got to close the banks, and we will have the banks reopen. We're going to issue a new currency, and it's going to be favorable to the American dollar, but the paper money you have now that belongs to the Federal Reserve ain't going to be worth anything. It's going to be just like 1921 Weimar Republic. You take a wheelbarrow and you pull it up to the furnace and you throw a wheelbarrow full of $100 bills into the furnace to heat the house instead of using that wheelbarrow to buy wood, because the wood costs more than the fiat money. And just like Bob Chapman said today, buy silver coins, little bitty silver coins, little bitty gold coins. And remember this, when a 1 ounce silver coin that sold for $700 8 months ago sells for $10,000 in the very near future, what are you going to buy? Learn how to barter, buy food, canned food that has a shelf life of over 5 years, buy ammo. Make sure you've got the cleaning utensils. Make sure you've got real toilet paper, great bartering item, toilet paper. And if you wear glasses, make sure you got a couple extra pair and a repair kit for your glasses. And if you're a woman under the age, well, if you're a woman and you're still in childbearing years all the way down to 12 and 13, make darn sure you got all those feminine things that you need, because those things are going to be worth their weight in plutonium. And plutonium's going for 10 times what gold is, ladies and gentlemen.
I think you mean platinum.
Platinum.
You don't want plutonium.
I said plutonium. I was reading too many Superman books and watching too many Superman cartoons this weekend.
Yeah. Well, Drew, we got to wrap here, but I want to thank you for being on the show.
I want roast beef and turkey on my wrap.
and your input on this alleged missile crisis. They just keep coming out with the stories.
That's a joke.
And I wish people would pay more attention, but that's for another show. So, again, happy birthday, U.S. Marines. You too, Drew.
Yesterday was the Marine Corps birthday. Today's Veterans Day. The banks were closed today because it's an official holiday. The banks will open tomorrow morning, and the trash men runneth.
Mm-hmm. So thanks for being on the show, and I'll be on your show next Monday, and you'll
Monday.
Be back with us.
Monday, and I want to thank Megan Love, my webmaster, for all the work that she's doing down there and getting the website up, listening to the show, rebroadcasting when she can. I want to thank Charles for putting the show on the air there in New Zealand. And I want to thank Matthew for putting the show on the air in Sochi, Russia. And I'd really like to thank Doug's wife, Valana, in Ireland for putting the show on there in Ireland tonight. And all the other wind talkers out there that care about BBS radio and putting out the truth.
Yes. Well, Drew, you have yourself a good night and enjoy the rest of the week and the weekend. And I'll talk to you soon.
I'm not going to hold my breath on that.
Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSradio.com and tonight's guest, former U.S. Marine Drew Malone Raines III. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network and over at BBS Radio, Seth Hendrick on the sound, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be scientist, inventor Jim Murray. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.